Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling revelry.
No, no.
Sibling revelry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling revelry.
That's good.
So today, in a short period of time, you're going to be listening to Rob and Chris Gronkowski. Rob, of course, you must know who Rob Gronkowski is. One of the great tight ends of all time. His brother Chris, just a really amazing guy. Grew up with five. There was five boys in his family. It was complete chaos. I can only imagine. You'll hear some of the stories. But we had so much fun. I mean, this was one of the more fun episodes, honestly, that we've had, because it was just playtime. Just laughing and bullshitting. And
they were so fun, but it did. I mean, I was definitely the girl in this episode. It was a lot of boy talk. There were some things where I was like, you guys, but no, it was so great. I mean, five boys growing up in a house together. What a whirlwind that must have been for Mom Gronkowski. I mean, the boys give her so many props, and she seemed like just such a saint of a mom.
And the best part about this episode, we came at Rob with like Brady questions, and you know, Brady had left the Patriots and he was in Tampa, and we were just sort of getting Rob's take on all of it, and he was being very sort of, you know, diplomatic, but yeah, he deserves all the money he gets and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, because we were trying to get some real shit out of him. Little did we know, he had already signed a contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to return to the NFL and play with Tom Brady again. They were sitting on this piece of information, not telling us.
And it wasn't even like, a week later or 2 weeks later. It's literally the next day. Like we were interviewing them, and then the next morning we like called each other going, what? How did he not tell us?
When you listen to this episode, just keep that in mind, that these boys are holding this secret. Because it's fun to listen to it back and know that, oh my God, he knows, man. He knows what's happening. He knows what a splash this is gonna make in the sports community. And I feel lucky, though. I feel lucky that we at least got to talk to him, and he was holding that secret from us.
And Ollie, you know, we're football fans. We love our football. So for us, this was a real treat. And Chris was on Shark Tank. He has the ice shaker that he created, and he actually sent us over some. And I have to say that I am now personally addicted to my Chris Gronkowski ice shaker. It's a perfectly made device for people who like to mix drinks. And now, you know, I have my In Bloom company, so all I do is shake my drinks up. So it was like the perfect device for me. But he's a full entrepreneur, business, very much the business guy in the fam, and apparently the strongest. But this was a total blast. It was like shooting the shit with my brothers.
Anyway, enjoy Rob and Chris Gronkowski, the Gronks.
So first of all, I will get into this, but I just want to say that already your mother is like a saint. According to things that I've read, all the boys, all the practices, it sounds like she was just constantly going.
Oh, yeah, constantly going.
Incredible. And then also on all of these things, does everyone ask you about what you think about Brady?
Oh, yeah.
Is that just like the number one? That's the number one question.
Yeah.
And do you actually tell the truth about how you feel about it, or do you have a political answer?
It's kind of both. It's both. You know, it's a clean, you know, political answer that gets a good statement out there, I feel like.
Yeah.
Then you got to give it to us, even though I'm sure everybody's heard it already.
Oh, I'll give it to you.
I'm going to say right now before you start, I don't buy it. All right, go ahead.
You're going to buy this one.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm
haven't heard it yet, so I'm excited too.
Yeah. Oh, you may not buy it, actually. I don't want to hype it up. Now that Chris joined in and he's excited to hear it, I don't know. It's just all right. Oh, I got my answers ready. I'm going to make sure they're super political now. Let's go.
Perfect. Okay, Rob, how do you feel about Tom Brady's trade?
Wow, right off the bat. You don't even introduce yourself. You just come right into that. How's the Tom Brady trade? You know, the guy's been working hard. He's gave 20 years of all he's got. You know, he has the right to go on, you know, to check out his options and to be able to move on. I mean, the guy performed to his highest level possible for the last 20 years, and it's not going to be any different. You know, wherever he goes, he's going to bring it no matter what his age is. And it's going to be entertaining for sure. And he's going to bring it to another high level, I think, until he retires.
Mm-hmm.
I love that answer.
I believe you. Chris, do you believe him?
Man, yeah, that was legit.
Yeah. That was legit.
There's no money left in New England. He had to leave.
Right.
And, oh, yeah, that too. Plus, yeah, the guy deserved super pay raises. There's no money left. Thank you, Chris. Now I'm stealing his answer. So he had to go to Tampa. Oh, man.
So this is really fun. We're really excited to have you guys on. We usually start with where you grew up, what that looked like, what town, what kind of house, how many brothers and sisters. Chris, let's start with you.
So we grew up in Buffalo, New York, not New England like most people think, but yeah, five boys. I was the middle of five, and I was also the shortest. They say the middle is always forgotten and the shortest. So it was a tough combo. So with that, you know, I had to brawl. We had to brawl every day. It was all out.
Oh, so that's why we had a brawl, because you were the shortest. That's why we brawled. I didn't know that.
Well, who's the oldest?
So oldest brother is Gordy. So it goes Gordy, Dan, then me, then Rob, and then the youngest is Glenn. And we're all within 10 years. So we're all spaced out about 2 years. So it was mayhem. We were the house in the neighborhood that everybody came to. It wasn't just us five. It was us five plus, you know, one or two friends as well.
Oh my okay,
so
gosh,
you got five boys. There's a lot of testosterone happening. Even though you're brothers, there is a hierarchy. There is an alpha that has to be developed, right? Now, you would normally think it was the oldest, of course, you know, when you got youngest, oldest. When you get to the age where strength, everyone's sort of on equal footing, was there a hierarchy established within the five of you guys?
I would say the hierarchy, that it kind of contributed to, like, whoever was the older brother at the moment. So like Gord would dominate over Dan, Dan would dominate over Chris, and Chris would dominate over me. Then I would dominate over my brother. It was rare, like when one brother would skip and like go and try and fight like the other brother. Like I never fought with Gord or anything. He's 6 years older than me. So that's kind of like a whole totally different class. But like Chris and I, we always brawled, like, and he always dominated over me because he was 2 years older than me. So that he was the closest to my age. So like we were always together, always doing things together. So that ended up being a fight. Like when Dan, he's 4 years older than me, and Gord 6 years older than me. We were doing stuff together, but it wasn't like we were competing versus each other. Because Gord, when he's 12 and I'm six, that's just a whole different category. A 6 year old's not going to be competing with a 12 year old. So we weren't always like to come together like that. So it was any brother that was competing with the other one, it kind of always turned into a brawl. No matter what it was. I would say it would start off at the mini stick arena too. We had in our basement. That's called knee hockey that other people call it.
Oh yeah.
There was brawls 24/7 from that game.
Actual physical brawls, like real shit. Like not just brother shit.
Just brother shit, exactly. Like it would be a brawl for 20 minutes. Not like it would be like a quick, like who can get the last jab in, throw the mini stick at each other. It wasn't like a boxing match where you throw the gloves down and you're fighting for a couple minutes. It was get your shot in and then run away and get your shot in, run away. Brotherly stuff.
So wait, give me the order real quick again. Gordy.
Dan, Chris, Rob, then Glenn.
Okay. So Glenn's the baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a lot of brothers. You probably
won't. And how did your dad
handle all this? I mean, you know.
So we had the rule in the house was just, you know, fight it out. But we couldn't punch each other in the face and we couldn't punch each other in the nuts. So anything else went. So if you had a problem, he'd actually set up the ring And he would call it Zoom Zoom, where he'd give us a pillow and we run as fast as we could at each other. And you just take the other guy down and, you know, you got into this brawl and then that was it. And it was game over after that.
And then you just guys just like, you know, got some cereal and went about your the rest of your day.
Yeah. Well, then I would eat the cereal because I dominated the brawls, the fights. And then I would eat the cereal, and then I would keep the fight going. And then I would take the trumpet. I would smash the trumpet over them because I was losing the fight. And then I would throw forks at people because I was forky at the moment.
This is true, too.
This sounds wild. Now,
it's amazing.
Did your mom ever interfere with any of these things?
All right. So my mom took care of us. My mom brought us to every sporting event. She had to divide it to make it evenly like happened between five of us. So she would find rides for us if she couldn't pick us up. And she made us food. She made sure we had a meal for every event, before every event, every sporting event we did. She made sure we did all our schoolwork. And then the only time she interfered with our fights, you know, if it got really bad and if it was starting to happen at first, like if we first started fighting, and then after about a year or two, she had a new, if you ask her about it, it's the best answer. She just said, she threw us outside and just let us be, let us fight, let us torture each other. And then when we finally run out of breath and get tired, we would come in and she would have our meal ready for us. And she would just let us tire each other out. And she wouldn't waste her time tiring herself out, trying to tell us not to fight anymore.
She just gave up. She let it like, she let it be a little bit of like Lord of the Flies.
Yes.
You guys just had to figure out your own
That's
way.
That's smart though. That's smart. I mean, obviously five boys. Did she want a girl? I mean, was she like, God damn it, like, just give me a girl? Or was she, you know what I mean? Like,
I think she kept trying, but
yeah,
she claims that it was what it, you know, she wasn't trying either way, but I mean, I think a girl would have helped as well.
Is anybody married now?
Yeah. So my brother Dan and I are both married, and both of our first two kids were boys. And then my third is a boy, and Dan's third is a girl. So,
there it is.
You have a girl. So in the
one
binder.
Girl,
our first girl of the family.
That our family is pretty similar because it's three boys and me, and then I had two boys. Ollie had two boys, and then we finally had. So mom was always like, "I just want a granddaughter," and then Ollie had a little girl. And then our thirds were girls. So, do you feel like your mom loves to connect to the wives because she gets a little more female energy? Or is she like a boy mom?
No, I think she definitely likes to connect with the wives. I mean, she's talking to my mom all day, all the time. And just back and forth videos of the kids and just talking about everything. And my mom loves it. She comes down and she had to feed us a lot because she comes down and feeds my kids. And it's just nonstop food. Like the kids just ate and boom, they're eating again. Boom, they're eating again. And she kind of has like this magic where she can make them eat no matter what time it is. It's amazing.
Oh, that's so great. Okay, so you guys grew up in Buffalo, New York. You're a brood. I mean, you're a team yourself. And what was the relationship like with your dad worked? Mom sort of was like with the kids.
My father would be at work, working for our family. And then my mother was stay-at-home mother. I mean, you have to be with five kids. She made sure we were at every event on time, at our school, at any sporting event that we had going on. And my father would come and he would be the coaches of our team after he was done working. On the weekends, we would be around the house, just all playing together as a family. And it was rare, like when, you know, when we can all get together, especially now being all scattered all over the place and stuff. But my parents did an excellent job. You know, they both had separate roles in raising us. But I would say my mother was probably more hands on with us due to the fact of always being there for us and helping us out. But they were excellent. And we were lucky and blessed to have a great childhood for real. We really did.
What was the house like? Did you guys have space outside to play? Did you share bedrooms?
Yeah, it was bunk beds. So we had a four-bedroom house, five boys. So we had bunk beds. There's one room without a bunk bed, but that would always be for the youngest. And then the backyard, we might have been on a quarter acre maybe. And what we did with that was we just turned it into a backyard baseball field. We also had a basement too. It wasn't big, but you know, we made do, and it didn't matter what it was. We were going to turn it into some kind of game. So it was just nonstop, you know, different types of competitions. We play anything, we battle in anything, and it was just mayhem at the house.
And all five of you were competitive, and all five of you were athletic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it wasn't even just going against each other, too. It was a lot of it was going against our friends, like our brother's friends for the most part. So, you know, if I couldn't beat up my brother Dan, I would just go after his friends instead and try to whoop him. It was, and we would, and then we brag about it.
Well, what was your first sport? Like, what was the best? What was your favorite sport when you were kids?
Our first one, I would say that we all started off with probably, Chris, wouldn't you say T-ball? Would be our first sport. We all started off with baseball.
Maybe
really
hockey.
Not hockey?
Yeah, hockey or baseball. It was either or they were at about the same time. But I would say my favorite growing up was definitely, I don't know, hockey. I just loved to play hockey when I was a kid. It was great. You know, we were on each other's team, Chris and I, at 1 year. I think we won it all, the Flyers, remember?
Yeah, every year.
Every year. No, that was the only year we played together, though, with hockey.
Oh, yeah. I was always on Dan's teams.
Yes, you're always on Dan's team. But hockey was my favorite. I love the action of hockey, especially growing up in Buffalo. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's the number one sport in Buffalo, I would say, is hockey, and everyone loves it there.
Yeah.
And then baseball.
And then baseball, yes. Because we didn't start football until, like, later in our life, like eighth grade-ish, high school-ish, when we started playing football. And then basketball, too. We just played, like, high school basketball, really, too.
Wait, so you didn't start playing football until you guys were in high school?
No, eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
School?
Yeah, middle school.
That's wild.
I mean, it's really hard to kind of, you got to play in the Pop Warner League if you're young. But I mean, my parents thought that was just too young to start the game of football, which was fine with me. But we always played like backyard football. We always threw passes and stuff. And we always played like, you know, flag football with our friends. But we never played the actual game of football where it's physical with all the equipment until seventh grade we started for the
whole fam, everyone,
basically
all the boys.
No. My old Chris,
I would never played. He was scared. It was a good story actually. So he was probably like 6'2", 160 maybe 180. He's a little twig, and he actually, his senior year, he finally decided to go out to play football because our brother Dan was a stud. And Dan was like 6'5", 235 pounds, and he was a quarterback. So Gord finally decided that, I gotta be cool too. I gotta go try out for my senior year and play. So they put him in the paper as like, you know, player to watch and all this stuff. And he went out for one practice, and Dan threw him this laser, and it hit his hands. It kind of like stung his hands, and it hurt his hands, and he quit. So he never played football.
That was the end of his career right there.
And then he went on to play baseball. He got a scholarship, he got drafted, but you could tell that he wishes that he ended up, you know, playing football. But he didn't really, he's now, you know, 6'6", you know, he was about 240 pounds when he was playing, so it he had the size later on and grew into his body later. But at that time,
240 pounds.
Yeah. He recently lost like 30 pounds, so now he's a little twig again. But
Kate,
you said 340, right?
No, I said 240.
Oh yeah, is that a lot?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what frame it's on.
Yeah,
though.
Exactly.
240, 6'5" is still big. I mean, that's big.
Why is
not really?
Why is everyone calling Rob skinny then?
Rob, where are you at now? How tall are you?
6'6", 6'7". You know, I got to get, you know, six basketball height. I'm 6'7", and I'm about 250, 255, depending on the day.
Yeah, look, and
wait,
he's
are
lost
you serious?
Weight.
6'6", 250, look baby. Look at that.
Oh, God. So, okay, I want to understand, because five boys, I mean, clearly you got into some serious trouble.
There's got to be some arrests. Come on, there's got to be a couple arrests.
Was there any, like, fights over girls? Was there any kind of, that was my girlfriend 3 weeks ago, and now she's my brother's girlfriend?
Wow. No fights like that. But I mean, like, when I was younger in like eighth grade and my brothers were in high school, they would have some people over, like a little party. And, you know, in eighth grade, you always wanted to peek what was going on with the older brothers. So I would peek outside. They'd be in the hot tub and they had some girls in the hot tub in like high school. And I always be peeking. And next thing you know, I would see someone like making out and I would start going crazy like, oh my gosh. And then I would maybe see like a bathing suit come off and I would be going even more crazy. And then sometimes my mom would walk out and catch everyone. And then I hear those stories, I'd be going more crazy. So they ruined it all. So then when I got to that age, I couldn't do that stuff because they already did it all and caught it. They all got caught.
Yeah.
Now, were you and Chris like were you guys tight out of the crew? You know, you were saying like the age group sort of mattered. You know, were you and Chris sort of the tight ones?
It would go like, it kind of went like, you know, Gord and Dan would be, and then Gord would leave for college. And then it was kind of like me and Dan, and then Dan would leave. So kind of just, you know, then me and Rob, and then, you know, then once I left, it was, you know, Rob and Glenn. And
that's kind of Glenn.
Glenn was actually 4 years younger too. So
That must have been so hard.
Where's Glenn now?
He's here in Dallas with me.
Yeah.
Are you guys super close?
Yeah. Yeah. He, not right now with Corona, but every other time.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all close for sure. We all talk and we all keep in touch with each other.
Have you guys been getting on these Zooms at all with everybody just to check in?
Yeah. We, this is a great story. So Glenn, with his work, he actually uses a different system that's not Zoom, but he parties on Zoom with everybody. So we were talking about a little earlier where Rob's name says Roberto. Well, Glenn came in we had a big call with Muscle Tech earlier in the week and he jumped on and his party name was still up there when he joined the Zoom meeting.
And what's his party name?
Oh man, I think it was something about like chicks and 69 or something.
All right.
it was like box chick 69.
Oh my god. Oh no.
But Chris told me the story, I was losing my mind. I could just see Glenn signing in with that name across the screen. And then he changed it 1 minute into it. That's even funnier.
It's just nuts. I mean, are you guys at all, who's your crew? Who are you quarantining with? Who gets to hang?
Man, me, my wife, and two kids. And my wife's 8 months pregnant, so that's it.
Wow, dude.
Wow.
It's been intense, but Rob, you got... Our brother Gordy was there. I think Camille's here now. So,
yes, I got my girlfriend, and then my other brother was here. But he actually, my dad was lonely in Buffalo. He was the only one in his house, so my brother drove up there just to be with him for a little bit too. So, had some brotherly love going on. You know, you got to compete. We have games in the basement. We have a ping pong, pop a shot, basketball. We got bubble hockey. So. We're competing in all those games, and it was just like the old days growing up.
That's so fun.
And how are your kids dealing with it, Chris?
Man, how am I dealing with it?
Yeah, right. How you dealing with your kids? I guess.
it's a lot. 3-year-old, 1-year-old, wife also runs a business as well. So the challenge now is kind of setting our schedule to make sense. I'll try to wake up early, get stuff done, and then we kind of swap. So. We're lucky enough to have her mom here as well, and she comes over to help us out a little bit. But that's it, man. I'm sure you guys are in it too with the kids.
Yeah.
It's a grind. It's definitely a grind having them home all day, every day.
Especially that young.
You're in the heat too. You're in the heat. You got three and then one and then one on the way. DoorDash. Every time I hear the doorbell ring, I dash to the door. You see what I did? I flipped it. DoorDash is, I've been using DoorDash, oh man, I don't even know. Since the existence of DoorDash, I have been using DoorDash. It is the easy way to get food. You want Chinese food? They want pizza. Someone's craving Froyo. You know, there's something for everyone on DoorDash.
I love my DoorDash. I mean, I literally just used it the other day. Clearly, right now, that is one of the main things we do, other than cook, is we order from home and try to support as many local restaurants as possible.
There are thousands of restaurants that are open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. So support your favorite restaurants on DoorDash. It's an app, okay? It brings you your food, the food that you are craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. You open the DoorDash app, you choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting.
If you're thinking about having a fun night and ordering in, use DoorDash. They're really great. They're actually very fast. I've used a lot of them. DoorDash, one of the fastest, I feel.
So right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code SIBLING. That's $5 off your zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code SIBLING. Don't forget, that's code SIBLING for your $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Cause box. Just separate the two words, right? Cause box. It's a box of goodies and joy for a cause, okay?
It's quarterly. This is four times a year. It's a subscription box curated by women for women. And it's filled with all sorts of amazing products and brands. What I love the most, and hence the name Cause Box, is that the brands that they use, they're ethical, sustainable, and all have a positive mission to give back, to make the world better. And boy, if there's anything we need right now, it's to always try to make this a better world. And so I really love this. For those of us who love a little shop, this would be a great subscription for you. And as an example, they have like bento box in there, a beautiful little bento box, a duffel bag. I got a jade roller in one, which I actually use all the time. Also, the Cause Box, it comes with an exclusive magazine, and it tells the story and the mission behind every product.
Every Cause Box is limited edition. It comes with 6 to 8 full-size products. I mean, you can get everything from skincare and jewelry to homewares and accessories. You get over $250 worth of products for only $50. Of course, we got our listeners an exclusive discount. So go to www.causebox.com/sibling and use the code SIBLING to get your first box for 30% off, as in you can get your first box worth of over $250 for less than $39 and free shipping. So go check out CauseBox right now. I can tell you firsthand, because I've seen the joy that it has brought my wife, that you're going to love it. Were you guys bummed out like when each brother was sort of leaving the nest and going to college, or was that just part of your reality? Or do you remember it being sort of all that energy leaves and now, you know, one's gone, then the other's gone? I mean, how was that?
Yeah, definitely bummed out. Like I was saying before, I mean, you were best friends with older brother until he left. So definitely a game changer. But if you're lucky enough, you got a brother right under you too. So, you know, it kind of just switched focus, but now you were the leader. Now you were the man in the house too. So you were able to throw the parties, Gord. That's what our older brother kind of started, was the tradition to throw a party at the house every time our parents left. So
that too. Ollie and I were really good at that.
We were very good at that. We had some parties that got way out of control,
so
too.
Out of hand.
I mean, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Bad.
That old brother taught us how to do that. Really,
it was really fun.
Yeah.
But okay, so did everybody go to college?
Yes, we all went to college.
Great, awesome. And does everybody go to college for a sport?
Yep.
Yes, we did.
Every single brother.
Yep.
All right, so wow. Give me the list of sports. So first brother, oldest brother, what sport, what college?
Baseball, Jacksonville University.
And the second brother?
And then the next four were football.
And all different colleges, or anybody go to the same college?
So I went to, my brother Dan went to Maryland. I started off at Maryland and then I transferred to Arizona and with Rob. So Rob went to Arizona. So him and
you
I
guys went to the Arizona, you mean the party school, Arizona?
Yeah, University of Arizona.
So did you like play football and just party so hard? Or were you like so into football that it was like there was no partying happening?
We played football and partied so hard. Yeah, that was it. That was the play. I mean, there was probably some games we were hungover still.
Yeah, yeah.
I would party on Thursday nights and then we play on Saturdays.
Responsible party.
That's responsible.
See, you scheduled your partying.
Yeah, 2 days. Yeah, that's what I mean. I was still hungover. One time I partied Thursday night, I was still hungover for the Saturday game. I scored a touchdown, though.
Yeah, that's one of your best games.
Of course you did, Rob. Of course you did.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, well, your mom and your dad, I mean, what did they just travel all over the country seeing all their boys play?
Yeah, for years from college and then after as well. So NFL was no easier. We were also all split up everywhere as well. So yeah, they got pretty good at it. The Arizona trip from New York was rough, but they liked it. You know, it was good to get out of Buffalo. That's for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did they end up getting out of Buffalo? Or are they still there?
Dad's still there. My mom went to Fort Myers. So she made a pretty good move.
So they're divorced.
Yeah. They split up pretty much right after we all got out of the house.
So when you guys were growing up, like, who was the first one to start playing football and what inspired football?
I would say we just all loved watching the game of football. We were Buffalo Bills fans growing up, and then we weren't allowed to play football. We loved playing sports, and my parents wouldn't allow us playing the Pop Warner games. But then my brother Dan, he's the one who actually started off playing football. And I was younger, so I went to all his games, watched them all, and I just loved watching the game. And I always asked when I could play, and I just had to wait till I got to seventh grade middle school where our school had a team. So Dan inspired us. Definitely we loved the game, but I would say that my brother Dan that played, I would say for Chris and I, we just loved watching him play and loved watching the games and going to the high school games and just seeing him out there. So he definitely inspired us and started off by playing football, but we always loved watching growing up big time and wanted to get involved.
Do you think part of the draw to football was out of competition for each other?
For me, at least, when Dan played, it was just like the coolest thing ever to see him play football. So
yeah,
kind of how I fell in love with it. He was also, I mean, he was a beast. He was huge out there, 6'6". He looked like a man among kids. And when seeing him out there, was like, man, that's so cool. I got to do it too. And then he got a scholarship too. And it was like, you know, he was the coolest kid in town. And that's kind of what really, really inspired me to play as well. Our dad did play football as well in college, but he just never pushed it on us. It was kind of our choice. If we wanted to play, you know, he let us play at that point. But, you know, before that, it wasn't like, hey, you guys are going to grow up playing football. It was always our choice to play.
Mm. And when did you realize or that you were a great baller? You know,
right when I came out of my mama. Yeah, I had my balls in my hand like a football, and I was ready to go. I was stiff arming people.
Did you guys go to camp, or did you were you home all the time?
I think we've been to like one or two camps. I mean, it was basically more like oh well, lacrosse camp is coming up, so we would go play lacrosse for the weekend at a lacrosse camp up at the neighborhood school, or it would be like basketball camp, or it'd be football camp. So that's the type of camps we went to. We didn't really go to like the camps that, you know, that are actual camps, like outside, like in the woods and stuff. It was more like sport camps.
Mm-hmm. No band camp?
No band camp. I wish.
We all did play the trumpet, though.
Yeah, we did.
You did?
Did you really?
Yes. And the trumpet got passed on. We had a trumpet. It started with my older brother, and then it got passed on to my second oldest brother, and passed on to Chris, and passed on to me. So, and then it was also used as a weapon in the house. So by the time the trumpet got passed to me, it had like 15 dents in it, literally. And I'd be playing it at the at band class whenever I had class. So I really wish though I paid more attention to instruments and musical stuff when I was growing up, because wow, is it so much fun, like knowing how to play the piano or you know, the guitar or anything like that, just to produce music. You know, at that age, I was just so into sports that music and band class is like for the geeks, because I was such a jock. Yeah.
Right. Did you guys have structure in your home? Like, did you have dinner every night and sit down?
Oh, dinner was free for all. It was my mom would just put it out, and it was first come, first serve. Eat as much as you want. Every once in a while, we would actually sit down as like a family and around the table. But rarely we did that because we were all at sports or my dad was at work. But wow, it was a free for all. grab and go, grab as much as you can, grab the other person's plate while they're trying to eat. It was mayhem.
Oh God. Mom was probably just like, she would probably just like make something, put it out. You guys would eat it. She'd have to make something else, put it out. You guys would eat it. I mean, if I was in her shoes, then I'd just start buying like lots of cereal.
Yes. You know? She was a saint, and I don't know how she did it. Now, you know, like as a kid, you're like, oh, we're your sons. Like you're got like that's your, you got to put up with us. But now like seeing my brothers have kids and everything, I'm like, you know, when you're young, you just think it's normal for your mom to be doing all that. But now at this age, see my brother go through it with kids and everything. I'm like, wow, that's something special that my mom did, was raising us five boys big time.
I mean, imagine the dumps at the Gronkowski household. Oh, yeah.
The dumps.
I mean, the dumps. It must have been insane. The shitter must have been just like... But it's what people want to know.
No, you know what I mean?
They were huge.
No, there's like maybe an eighth of the population that wants to know about that.
Trust me, they do.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone thinks it.
The part that was worse, I think, was the piss. Because we...
Oh, right. Piss everywhere.
Piss everywhere, for sure.
Yeah, it would be. Pee would be everywhere.
Amazing, dude.
Like, oh, that's what we always got yelled at for. Never, like, putting up the toilet seat. Never flushing the toilet. There'd be pee everywhere. We're pee-pee heads.
Oliver, Ollie, remember when you, to get me out of the bathroom, you would just, because we shared a bathroom, so if he was going to the bathroom, I'd have to, like, brush my teeth or something, I'd come in, and the way that he'd get me to not come into the bathroom was to just spray the entire bathroom. So I never came into the bathroom anytime he was in there. Mm-hmm. It worked.
I knew how to do it. Hey, were all of you, how many of you guys were actually drafted to various sports? I know you got MLB, but and then also the NFL.
Yeah, three. So let's see, all of them until me. And then our youngest brother, Glenn. So Rob actually got drafted. And we came out together, so I got to see him get drafted, and then I went undrafted. And then Glenn was undrafted as well. So three out of five were actually drafted. Gordy was drafted 49th round, so I don't really count that either.
Oh, man.
I mean, I got a bigger signing bonus than him.
And then did you guys walk on? I mean, did you try to walk on?
Yeah, so what happens is after the draft, you can get picked up as an undrafted team. So I signed on to the Cowboys probably within 3 minutes after the draft ended. And then from there, it's kind of, you know, you have one shot to make the team kind of deal. And, you know, a guy, an undrafted free agent, hadn't made the Cowboys in over 10 years, so... I made the starting roster that year. So it was the first time someone made it in over 10 years.
Awesome.
Cool. You were in business school at the time, right?
Yeah. So I went, I was one of two students on the football team that were in the business school at Arizona.
And did you finish?
Yeah, I did. I have an accounting degree.
Well, that's nice. I wish I had a degree in anything.
Oh, you don't have a degree?
No, I never went to college.
I used degree.
Oh wow! Well, I went and I never graduated, so we neither of us have a degree.
You got drafted. Like, how many years did you play then in college?
I played 3 years, and then I left early. So all my brothers have a degree besides myself, but my youngest brother, he has two. He like graduated with two degrees somehow because he stayed in college for like 5 years. So, like, he just lended me one of them, so I'm fine now.
Is it on your wall?
Yeah. Took it off the wall and crossed out his name and put mine.
What was draft day like for your family?
It was good. I was actually at the draft, and I didn't get picked in the first round, but that was okay because after the day you get picked up, it just feels, you know, fantastic. You just forget about everything. But it was a lot of fun to be in New York with everyone, with the support from my family and everything, and It's kind of like it's nerve wracking at some points, definitely. But when it happens and you sign, it's one of the greatest feelings.
And was the whole family there? Were you guys? Was everybody with you?
Yes, everyone was there. Yep.
So the boys are so competitive, right? We've established that. Everyone knows that in the world. I mean, but so does that competition? Is it always healthy or? Is there jealousy? You know, is there, fuck, man, I'm better than him. Or, yeah, I'm happy, but oh, God damn it, I wish that was me. I mean, is there any of that between the five of you or the two of you or the three of you, however many?
I would say early on, for sure. So when we were young, all day. I mean, if Rob got an award for something, I was like, hell no. You know, we'd pull it out. But as we got older, that completely changed. Like in high school and then into college, it became more of a support system than anything. So instead of, you know, us going against each other, we were actually playing next to each other. And you know, it turned into, you know, we'd just be out there trying to kill it on the field and then go back and brag to each other about how great our blocks were, how great our hits were on the field, and watching film together. So I really went from competition to really, really a support system once we got to the higher levels.
That's great.
So for those who don't know much about football, Rob, can you explain your a little bit of, like, you got drafted to the Patriots?
Yes, I got drafted to the Patriots.
And you didn't you spend your entire career at the Patriots?
Yes, and spent my whole career there. I played 9 years for the New England Patriots. So I was drafted in the second round in 2010. And then you signed a deal there. And then I signed a big deal when I was about like 22 years old with them, and it was a long deal too. It was about an 8-year contract. So I played 7 of the 8 years of that contract, which is pretty which is kind of unheard of, really, in the NFL especially. So I got to stay with one team, and to stay with one team, I mean, throughout your whole career is you know, you really don't see that much. So it was real cool, and I had a blast, and not just learned and enjoyed playing football, but I just learned so much about, like, life playing football too. You know, you got to come together as a team, just learn so much in that organization, being, you know, in the organization that's, you know, I would say one of the top 5 organizations, sports organizations, and one of the most winningest sports organizations in history. Just learning so much from the people, from the owner to the head coach, you know, quarterbacks like Tom and all the other players that just came around. It's something special.
I know. I got to see you play a couple times in Boston.
Wow. Aren't you lucky?
I did. I went to some of the games while you were playing. And yeah. Chris, what about you? You played for different teams. So what was that like?
Yeah, completely different route than what Rob went. So for me, it was kind of, you know, that one shot. I actually didn't think I was ever going to make it to that level. So that's why I would party on Thursday nights in college. And also why I tried to get the best degree that I could, because I just didn't think it was even an opportunity. When you're little, it's pretty much, you're told this is a 1 in a million shot. And for me, I went and I thinking that I had no chance. So I bounced around three different teams that I actually started on. I played in 34 different games, and then went into my fourth year, had pension already, had all the benefits that I never thought I would get. So it was a win for me. Got hurt in camp. And at that point, I got released with an injury settlement. So completely different route. And looking at Rob's career, people would say, you know, wow, you know, that's, they wouldn't even know who I was. But for me, I mean, that was a huge win.
Yeah, amazing.
What position did you play?
Fullback. So I was also a position that was, it's a dying breed.
Yeah, and big time.
There's 28 guys in the whole world that, you know, are starting on an NFL roster. I mean, some teams didn't even carry one, and the teams that did would carry one. Whereas something like a tight end, running back, other positions, they'll carry 3-4 guys on a roster.
What about Christmas and Thanksgiving? Where do you guys have that? Did you guys all get together, or is it separate Thanksgivings and Christmases, or do you do like one family?
So we used to all get together, but you know, once college and then NFL, it pretty much had to stop. I mean, we were playing in the NFL, so and Christmas Day as well, for the most part, or
that
right
around. Suck. Really, like, happy. Thanksgiving Day, Christmas, like, you guys didn't have that for almost a decade.
No, we didn't. Our last Christmas and Thanksgiving when we were all together was like when we were kids, all in high school and stuff.
Wow.
And then we all left for college. We were all in different states and cities across the country, and then we were all playing pro sports. So it's very rare that we did that. It was about a whole decade that we weren't together for Thanksgiving or Christmas. But I think last year was or something. It was when the last like year or two, it was the first time all of us brothers we were together for Thanksgiving or was it Christmas? It was one of them. But it's rare when you can do that. But we make the best of it when we can.
You should try to have one now. Now, you know, you should at some point, you know, to get everybody together for Thanksgiving would probably be so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Chris, are you going to let your kids play? Chris, are you let your kids play football? Are you good with your kids playing football if they want to?
Absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
I think it teaches you a lot more than, you know, just the game. You learn so much more about discipline, hard work, multitasking. I mean, there's so much that comes along with the game as well. And I mean, my life has changed because of it myself. So it would be really hard for me to say no to my own kids. So if that's what they want to do, I mean, I feel that's you know, their choice.
So I'm going to come in with a question. What are your guys' thoughts on how football has changed?
I would say that it's changed in a very positive way. You know, with all the rule changes, you know, securing up, you know, players that are not protected, like as I'm not protected, I'm not talking about gear. I'm talking about like protecting themselves from a hit. Like, you know, they're up in the air and you can only hit them in like their hip area, not a direct shot at their head. I mean, back in the day, you could have took shots anywhere at the body, at their knees, at the quarterback, anywhere. You can rip any. You can basically rip the player's helmet off back in the day, and it would be totally fine. So I would say that the rule changes are great. You know, they're very positive. I mean, you see players back in the day that, you know, some of them, I'm not going to lie, you see them, some of them still aren't right. They're still hurting. Like the players that played in the 90s, early 2000s, all from those hits, all the hits to the head and everything. So I would say they moved it to a safer environment, because that it's a lethal sport. I mean, there's going to be big hits every play. You just got to do it within the rules. And it's taught now. It's taught in a very, you know, unique way. It's taught to not go after opponent in at the head or anything. So it's all taught in training camp at practice. So it's in your brain. So when you do that quick reaction time, you don't take a player out from his head or down low on a quarterback. So I think it's great, because, you know, the game of football is so vicious that you want your players to be out there. You don't want them to be on the sidelines because of head injuries. And you've seen so many of them in the early 2000s and 90s of players that aren't right anymore because of the hits and everything. So, you know, it's good. And the equipment now, it's becoming, you know, very, very super advanced. Efficient, the equipment too, which is good.
And did you leave because you were just tired of getting hurt? I mean, it was just sort of like, all right, you know, I've done so much in this game already, and why push it?
Yes, exactly. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, factors that played into it, but that was definitely one of the main leading ones, is like, you know, taking all those hits over the last, 15 years, you know, being all swelled up. I still had like scar tissue you're trying to fight through from all your other surgeries and hits and everything. So it definitely can tear you down and wear you down for sure, big time. I mean, I was there. I've had 9 surgeries. I've had plenty of hits where you quad contusions, I would call them, you know, just internal bleeding all the time. People would be smacking you at full speed. I mean, but that's why Kate loved the game so much, you know? That's why she was always at my game. She wanted to see the big guy run down the field and smack someone. She loved that action.
You know, our grandma loved football. She was a Steelers fan. And I grew up, I would sleep in grandma's room. And I remember asking her one time, "Grandma, why do you always watch football?" And she goes, "I love it. It's so violent."
Yes.
That was grandma. That was our grandma.
When was your rookie season? What was your rookie season like? When did you break out? Were you out at the gate?
Oh no, I wasn't like right out of the gate. I mean, I had some potential my rookie season. I showed it in training camp and stuff, but I didn't really get on the field until like the halfway through the season, my rookie year, because I didn't really know the playbook. I mean, my skills were there, but if you don't know the playbook and you don't know your assignment, you can't really show your skills, because then that's when you're thinking. And if you're thinking out there, you can't really perform how you really need to perform. So once I learned the playbook, they didn't really put me on the field much. I only had like certain plays, the ones that they would totally trust me that I remembered. But then then all of a sudden it just clicked. The playbook clicked, everything clicked. And I was on the field for every play about the 10th game into my rookie season. And then that's when I started making catches, making plays, getting touchdowns. And then my second year going into the league, I was like, I got this. I'm ready to take over. And that's what happened, baby.
Mm-hmm.
What was Belichick? Is Belichick, is he just like what you would imagine he is?
Yeah, I would say kind of. I mean, how you see like his press conferences and everything, yeah. like that's how he is in team meetings and stuff
too.
Even
as a coach?
out to lunch and out to dinner, he's actually totally different. Like if you see him at a charity event, you know, people always say he never smiles, but if you do catch him out at a dinner, you know, outside of the charity event, he does smile. And he's very different from being a coach of a football team.
Yeah. I saw him at Pebble Beach. I was playing golf at Pebble Beach at the Pro-Am. And I sat down, had lunch with him. And he was so great and boisterous and smiling. I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah you didn't want different. That guy. You wanted the football guy. You wanted to see what it was like.
Mr. Kraft, Bob Kraft is doing some great stuff right now with COVID. And
oh, yeah. Well, so my girlfriend and I, we donated like 10,000 masks. No, 20,000 masks, 10,000 to a New York hospital and 10,000 to a hospital in Boston. And then a day later, there was news that Mr. Kraft has a plane in China.
Yeah.
And he brought over like I don't know, 300,000 masks.
He's
and
like,
I was like,
sorry, Gronkowski. He's like,
he blew mine away. That was peanuts what I did.
Watch this. Watch your old boss.
Yes.
Hey, man, were you, I got to ask, were you tight with Hernandez? Were you guys boys or was that relationship just on the field?
Oh, no. I mean, you're tight with everyone when you have a football team, man, especially. Yeah. And he was in the same position as me. So we were always together. And he was a great football player, man.
And did you guys ever play each other?
Chris and I?
Yeah.
Yeah. 2012. I actually went to New England and I was with the Broncos at the time. So we played each other and it was a good game. They ended up winning.
Go.
But it was good though, because every time I ran by the bench, Rob would scream shit at me and yell out that 49 sucks.
Oh, yes. We did play each other when he was on. Yeah, that is true. And he was on special teams and I was yelling out, you suck 49. It took you like 10 times for me to yell it to hear it. But that was, I love saying that. That was great.
Yeah.
Was that really fun for you guys, or is it weird to play against each other?
So we never actually had to go against each other. Rob wasn't on special teams, so we both played offense. But I loved it because, you know, I was going against guys that he was friends with. And so I was talking trash and, you know, I was trying to just take him out all day, every day. So it was good. And then just having him yell at me when I ran by, it was hilarious.
Rob, are you a good trash talker?
If I'm feeling it, yes. I got to be feeling it.
Who's the best trash talker in the league when you were playing?
Oh, man. You know, it changes up, you know, it varies every year. But Terrell Suggs, he was good back in the day when he was at Baltimore. Yeah, he was scary too. So you didn't want
scary.
You didn't want to get in his way.
Yeah,
most guys don't talk trash though. I mean, some guys out there too that actually support you. Like it is kind of a family out there as well. So I think that kind of changed a little bit later in my career. But for the most part, man, most guys didn't talk trash. They were kind of in it together with you and. You know, you kind of, it's a kind of a family in the NFL as well.
Yeah. I think too, at some point, I mean, I know you're obviously playing against each other, but you know how serious the game is when you're playing it. And it's like going into going on the battlefield. You got to get that battle mentality going, but you also don't want to kill somebody. I don't know. I mean, to me, that must be the most challenging thing. Like, you know, anytime I see someone get really hurt, it's just, to me, I would think that it would affect everybody.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the last thing you wanted to see was that someone actually get hurt. I mean, you wanted to go out there and, I mean, you want to pancake guys. You want to put on a good show. But at the end of the day, the last thing you want to do is hurt somebody else.
Butcher Box. So I like meat, you know. I love my veggies, no doubt about it. But I do love my proteins. And I have a subscription myself and have been grinding ButcherBox for some time now. Okay, so here's how it works. Every month, ButcherBox ships a curated selection of high-quality meat right to my home. All of the meat, it's free of antibiotics, free of added hormones. Each box has 9 to 11 pounds of meat. That's enough for 24 individual meals.
It's packaged fresh. It ships frozen, vacuum sealed, so it stays that way.
And they give you options like 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage pork, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, and, you know, sugar and nitrate-free bacon. These are all absolutes that we do in our home. I hope you love ButcherBox. They make it very easy. It's the most affordable and convenient way to get healthy and humanely raised meat. So, you know, you can get all of this quality meat for just $6 per meal. And that is a crazy, crazy good price. So I'm very, very excited for you to experience ButcherBox because we love it.
You can customize your box, okay? Or you can just go with theirs. Either way, you get exactly what you want. It's a no-brainer. They even have free shipping nationwide except Alaska and Hawaii. So mark a visit to the meat counter off your list and receive quality meats delivered to your door right now. Just go to butcherbox.com/sibling. That's butcherbox.com/sibling. Coors Light, I'm in the birthplace of Coors Light. I'm sitting here in the birthplace of Coors Light. I am staring at the Rocky Mountains as we speak, as I'm speaking into this microphone. Unfortunately, the mountains I'm looking at aren't turning blue, but fortunately, when I look at the mountains and the sunglasses that turn blue on my Coors Light can, I know that it's cold, it's freezing cold, and it's time to drink.
It's a three-step cold process, yes. Right? It's cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. Three-point beer, if you want a low-calorie beer, Coors Light is calling to you.
Get Coors Light in the new look, delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Get Coors Light in the new look, delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly, kids. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
So 2012, so you got to play with Peyton.
Yep.
Peyton was your quarterback. And you have Brady, right?
Yes. Rob?
So if you guys were to sit there and have a conversation about who of those two would be considered the greater quarterback.
I mean, how's Tom Brady not the greatest quarterback?
I mean, I don't know.
Time?
I think there's a lot of people who would think that Peyton Manning is pretty great.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, go. Peyton Manning's a great quarterback. But you have to go with Tom. I mean, he's still going.
He's just hands down. He's just the GOAT. There's nobody who can catch it.
Yeah, 6 Super Bowl rings too, and he's still going. I mean, that's wild.
Yeah, and he's a vegan. And he's hot and a vegan. Like, it gets better and better.
Oh, I've seen him eat some meat before.
So what was the decision for you? You know, Chris, you got injured. Rob, what was it that made you go, I'm throwing in the towel, I'm done? And then what was it that then became the transition for you to go into WWE? Like, how did that happen?
I mean, there was just a lot of factors. I mean, I was getting tired, you know, all the rehabbing, all the surgeries, they all add up, all the hits add up, all the running, you know, every day, just all the physicalness to the body adds up. And then the transition.
So then you decide to go wrestle.
Yes. Well, I didn't. That was about a year ago, too, I retired. But your body does recuperate. It does heal up, especially if you take good care of your body and do the right things and eat right. Your body heals up, which it is healed up now. So I started doing other opportunities. And the wrestling gig wasn't even that much. I kind of like just hosted WrestleMania. And the only real thing I did was I jumped off a 12-foot platform into like 12 wrestlers. And it wasn't anything dangerous, I don't think. I mean, to me, it wasn't. And I took out all the wrestlers and then pinned my buddy who had the belt. So currently right now, I am the 24/7 title belt champion right now. And in this quarantine time.
Are you going to have to defend it?
Yes, and I have to defend it. But it's great because right now in this quarantine time, who can come at me? You know, no one. That's you got to stay away.
I thought they were wrestling still, though.
I'm a champ.
I thought that the Florida governor said that it was an essential business.
Yes, they did say that, but I'm not in Florida. I'm in Boston.
Right. You cannot
I'm
travel.
I'm going to stay here. And I've been on my Instagram Live working out. I've been shooting promos with the belt around my waist. I mean, it's just fantastic. I'm the 24/7 WWE title champion of the world.
How were your outfits? What was your outfit? I didn't get to see it. Was it a good outfit?
It was kind of like a jumpsuit, track jumpsuit. It was pretty dope. I was looking good. I wish I had my belt. It's next door, actually. I don't want to show it off too much. I've been showing it off so much anyway. But you can just, I actually do have a picture, but it's in my phone, so I don't know how to show you guys.
You got to send it to us.
I'm going to Google. I gotta watch the match. And Chris, what are you doing now, bud? What's happening with you?
Yeah, so a lot. I started a business with my wife and came straight out of the NFL and did that for 5 years. And then started a second company called Ice Shaker. So we were on Shark Tank with it. We had probably one of the most epic episodes where I went out there, I pitched it, and then the four brothers were in the back room.
Oh, fuck. I remember this. I forgot about that. I remember this. I love Shark Tank. I remember this. Yep.
Yeah. So it's been good. So it's something that, you know, actually pairs up really well with Fabletics. So I might have to get you guys.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, why don't you guys should definitely have a custom made Ice Shaker, because he you know, I get to make some of the decisions, because I actually a year later I actually bought out A-Rod's portion that he owned of Ice Shaker, because I wanted to get involved with Chris. So A-Rod was nice enough to sell me the portion that he bought off of on the show Shark Tank. So now it's me, Mark Cuban, and Chris is part owner. And I'm part owner with Mark Cuban.
Oh, that's Chris. That's great.
Majority of the owner. So I now think you guys deserve.
So what is it exactly?
So it's double wall vacuum insulated, usually a shaker bottle. So we came out with a new lid that's more geared towards coffee or just smoothies. But it actually usually comes with a shaker top. So at the time, there was no insulated shaker bottles on the market. And so I really wanted to create a bottle that could be used all day for everything, not just the gym, but you know, also bring it to work on the airplane, everywhere you went. And it was super easy to fill, super easy to clean, but could also mix up powders. And there was really nothing out there at the time. So that's what I went on the show with. That's what I pitched. And we ended up getting offers from all five sharks.
That's great. And do you have a bunch? I'm sure you have a bunch of collaborations that you do.
Yeah, so we're national with Vitamin Shoppe, GNC, Lifetime Fitness. We sell the TB12 as well. So we're able to personalize every bottle, and we do it fast as well. So our turnaround time is about 1 to 2 days. So I could send out something for you tomorrow.
That's so great. I love
that. That's awesome, dude. My business, too. I'm doing a ball bra, you know, because we don't – there's not enough. It's a real problem with men, and no one is remedying this, and it's a bra for your nuts.
First of all, I agree. By the way, we're not cutting that. We're going to make a ball bra. We have to do this. It's so great.
Perfect gag.
Oh, and by the way, it doesn't have to just be for support. It can be for aesthetic too, you know?
Yeah, it makes like your it balls look nice. Gives it a little like
something
shape.
Something cute. Right? Mm-hmm. You can do lacy things if you're into that. It doesn't matter. Like something, you could do your sports team. Like, you know, I could do a Patriots ball bra.
Danny said it should wrap around your neck. It should come up around your neck. The ball.
Right here and down.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Wait, is there anything that we want to talk about before we get into our speed round?
You got your CBD.
Yeah. I got my CBD line. I actually have we're a topical cream right now, so you know you can extract your CBD out if you don't want to get high, but you still want the mental clarity effects. But I'm with a CBD company, and it's an ointment cream right now, so it's kind of with camphor and menthol in it, and then about five essential oils, and then there's CBD in it too. So it's a pain relief cream, like helps out muscle joints, arthritis, stuff like that. And
what's your price point?
It's one of the more expensive ones. It's one of the top quality products. I mean, depending on what you buy, what one you buy, I think on the website it's $34.99 or $39.99 for the tube. But it does work about 46 hours, but then my line's coming out under CBD Medic, and, I'll be doing, ingestibles. So I'll be doing gummies, and I'll be doing a capsule form of CBD, CBG, which is another one. And CBC mm-hmm. and CBN. So there's four. There's other.
Are any of them activated with THC?
No, none of them have THC in it. We don't do THC this product line. Maybe in the future, but not as of now. No. but it's CBG, which is their other cannabinoids that are ripped out of the plant. So there's CBD, and then there's about 100, I think, 44 cannabinoids in a plant. So we'll be doing the other ones that I think are more are stronger too than CBD and work just as well or even better.
That's awesome. I'm just I just love all of this stuff so much. I mean, anything.
Yeah, I like CBD with a little THC.
Yeah, that's a good combo right there.
Yeah, it's a good combo. I'm trying. I might try to do a business, just see a THC business.
What he's really trying to say is he likes THC with a little CBD. He basically
he likes it when it's dominant THC.
That yeah, especially today. It's a beautiful day today. It's a beautiful day today. Mm-hmm.
So we should start also and to ask about how you guys are faring.
Well, during this quarantine time, just always staying busy. I don't like to just sit around and just chill on the couch. I mean, sometimes I do. Like after this interview, my day's done. So then I'll be chilling, watching a movie. But I'm always trying to find things to do, keep my mind going, keep exercising too, eating right, learning new things, reading. So I've been doing a lot of walks. I've been the last 5 days, actually, I hit over 10,000 steps on top of a workout too. So I love going outside, going in nature, refreshing myself out there, staying 6 feet away from people when there's other people crossing by crossing by you in the path in the woods. So, and just finding things to do, puzzles, word searches, Sudoku, all that type of stuff. Cleaning. I've been doing a lot of cleaning. I cleaned my whole garage. It looks perfected now. I love it. I love how everything's clean. So just finding a lot of time to do stuff like that. And it's cool. You know, stay busy.
Is the sixth rule like your favorite thing ever, by the way? I just thought about that.
What rule?
What?
The 6 foot rule. It's got to be like the greatest thing that ever happened to you.
It's the greatest thing that's ever happened. Everyone has to stay away, and they're like, "Oh, it's Gronk. Hey, Gronk." And I'm just like, "Hey, you got to stay 6 feet away. It's very dangerous if you get close to me." You know, it's like I feel like this crisis is like made for me though. Like I traveled actually like before, like right before it all started, and you had to be quarantined, and it was the best travel day of my life. I was like, I could travel every day like this. I got my flight for $20. I'm the only one in first class. And no one was talking to me, bothering me. I just walked right through the airport. It was fantastic. Yeah. I wish everyone had to stay 6 feet away from me at all times. Because usually, like, I don't like when random people come up to you and they start, like, touching you and grabbing you on the shoulder. It's like, yo, like, you just don't know them. Like, it's like, that's a little bit too much.
Well, especially with you, Rob, you know, because you're in a physical sport and people probably just feel like they can be physical with you. And it's a completely irrational thought, but they're like, oh, it's fucking Gronk. Yeah, bah! And you're like, dude, please.
Dude, you just hit it right on. Yo, especially when you get around drunk people, just there's no limits. Yeah, it's Gronk. And they just come up to you and start grabbing you, it's Gronk, what's up, buddy? And they start hitting me all over the place. You hit it right on, Oliver. You look perfect. Yeah. You look like my number one fan.
I am.
Okay, ready? Let's do our speed round.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
One word to describe the other.
Hilarious. Oh.
Jacked.
Yeah.
One word to describe the other at 10 years old.
Ooh, mischievous.
Whoa. I would say powerful. Chris was powerful.
Yeah. Okay.
Who are people more intimidated by?
Depending what's going on. If you saw Chris at a college fight, I would say Chris.
Mm-hmm. I'll take it.
Okay. Well, then this might lead into this question, which is who was more wild in college?
Yeah. Good one.
Oh
well, we kind of shared. We would take our turns, like who would be more wild at the moment. But I'm gonna give this one to myself just because I
it's more fun.
Chris was more intimidated. I was more crazy.
Good. What about something your parents don't know that your brother did? Do you guys have any of those?
Oh, it's got to be a good one.
You
got any of those?
My brother would take the alcohol in the closet and fill it up with water.
That's like a go-to move when you first start getting into the liquor cabinet, yeah. isn't it? What is the thing that drives you the most nuts about your brother?
For me?
Oh, let's hear this one.
Yeah, trying to set up a meeting, like something like this.
That's the truth. Oh, man. Oh, man. I just had yours too, Chris. I had it right on top of my head, and now it just went away after you said that. Is that one true? Oh, I would say Chris finding little ways to like be successful, like, and make money. So in college, he used to have these fish, and he'd be selling them out of the freaking house. I'd be like, "How's he selling these fish? These are stupid, and he's making all this money." But at the same time, I'm like, "Wow, he's legendary. He's making all this money mating fish out of his college room." But I used to be like, at the same time, like, "He's crazy. He should be hanging with me instead."
Yeah, that and online poker. That was
online poker too. I'm like, dude, how are you making so much money? Because he's got like, dude, these smart genius ideas. Yeah. Oh, and also he wouldn't even have to study. This kid would just go into the test and know it all.
Oh, that's so annoying. That would drive me nuts. I don't have that with Oliver, but if he was like that, then that would have definitely made me feel nuts.
No, I just cheated.
Yeah, me too.
I just cheated.
All right. Okay. Who cries the more easily?
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Just like who's more sensitive? And
I think I cried last, so I'll give it to myself.
You did?
Yeah. But it's retirement speech.
Yeah.
I think I was crying too, though.
Yeah.
It's a sad day.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Did you cry, Chris, when he gave a speech?
A little bit.
Oh, come on. You were weeping. All right, so we're tied. You were like in a fetal position. You can't help it.
This is a weird one. Who's stronger?
Oh, I got that locked out, man, all day.
Yeah.
Oh, you
Chris,
do.
Yeah, like I said, he was powerful. Chris always had it on me.
So Chris, okay, you'd win in an arm wrestle.
Yeah, that's something we never really arm wrestled, but
It was,
I mean, it was all like the weightlifting record stuff like that. And then, I don't know, we just get in like kind of like scuffles where we just throw each other on the ground, stuff like that. We always had this like rule that when you were in the party bus, somehow everyone always got in a fight on the way home. And it was always like this big wrestling match. So I was the king at those.
Oh my. Yeah. Yo, that I forgot about that. Wow. Yes. You were the king. You were the king at those.
And I was really hammered every time, too.
Yes, you were. Yes.
Okay, so
that helps, too. That makes you stronger.
You can do it.
It really does.
Who calls the other more?
Oh, that's it. I call Rob more for sure.
Yeah, Chris calls me more.
You don't answer, so I got to call again and then again.
This is an interesting one for you guys. Who is more competitive?
I'll probably say Rob. Even though I whoop them every, we have this new thing called Stadium Blitz that we do. And man, that's the only time I've just whooped them so easy that it was kind of weird. So,
yeah, but you weren't at the last one where I, because Glenn beat you and then I was up there with Glenn. Literally, Glenn beat me by 1 foot. So he skipped out on the last one because he got scared because he knew I was coming from. But yeah.
If he brings it back, I'll give him the title.
Yeah, depending on the event, but I would say overall, I win that one.
So what is that? What's it called? Stadium what?
Stadium Blitz. So it's a new obstacle course race through stadiums, so NFL or college stadiums. So it's kind of like bringing fans on their favorite field under the lights as well. So we do it at night, and then you run actually an obstacle course through the entire stadium. So pretty cool concept that we started, but with everything that's going on, so far, our tour has been canceled this year. So we had 12 scheduled, and so far, about 6 of them have been canceled. So hopefully we're able to bring it back soon.
Yeah, I hope so. That sounds really fun.
I know. That's cool.
Okay, who's the better singer?
Oh, did you see the Masked Singer?
No, I haven't.
So, yeah, the White Tiger was really good. But
yeah, I was the White Tiger on the Masked Singer this year. I went 4 rounds. I learned how to sing and dance, and, you know, I'm just the better overall singer.
Wow. Dude, I didn't know that.
It, yeah.
All right, stop. Slap right and listen. I sit back with my brand new invention. Something.
Is that what you said?
Flow like I pull daily and nightly. Will it ever stop, yo? I don't know. Turn off the lights up.
And I'll glow.
To the extreme, I recommend.
Give me the mic, like a vandal.
Stage and watch a chump like a candle. Like a dance.
Rush
speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly. When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it. You better gain weight. You better hit bullseye, because Kate, this kid don't play. And if there's a problem, yo, I'll solve it.
Check out
DJ Chris revolves it.
Nice.
That was way better than his performance actually on the show. So,
well, that's because I'm better because I practice it more. I kind of stuffed it all in. The more reps you do, the better you get at anything. It's science.
It's you gotta practice that muscle. It is a muscle, that vocal box.
It is science.
It is. It's science. They didn't teach us that science class, so. But it is science.
That's science. Rob Gronk, the science guy.
Gronk, the scientist, is here.
You should do a scientist show. I think that's a great idea.
I show like a scientist clip, and I have the nice glasses on, the outfit, and I have a nice book. Oh, I got to really be feeling it. Yeah. And like Gronk is super smart. Yeah. They go from like a football play to like being a scientist. Oh, they lose their mind.
Who's the better dancer?
Oh, I'll give that to Rob too. I mean, he actually got, so I'll take back the last part. You know, his singing was awful, but his dance moves were on point on the show. So that's how he kept getting through all the rounds. I mean, his first song was good, but towards the end, I just don't think they gave him good songs that really meshed with him. But dance moves were on point for sure.
Okay, playing Truth or Dare, who would take more dares?
Oh, we're both taking dares all day.
Yeah, we're both taking dares, and then, I dare you to dare me more.
What is a truth anyway? You know what I mean? I dare you to tell me the truth. How about that? Like, it should just be dare.
Yeah, daring was the best.
All your brothers can be included in this, and you both have to answer it. If you were going to go to a stranded island and you could only bring one brother, what brother would the most helpful or that you would want to bring on that island? Who's your naked and afraid buddy, you know?
Oh, by the way, you guys, you should do Naked and Afraid. That would be amazing.
Okay, but who is that? Which brother?
Survival-wise? Man, I don't know if any of us really have those kind of skills.
You got to get one.
My brother Gordy was in the Boy Scouts. I think he was the only one, so I might take him just hoping that he actually learned something, but he's not that great of a student, so I'm not sure.
I would go with Chris because I actually do see him the way that he survives and thrives. Like I've seen him through college, and like you know, he never got the upper hand really in football. Like he was in a dying position, really wasn't the ideal height and size. He was like in betweener, but he always find a way to survive. So I would pick Chris.
Yeah, that's that good.
Answer. I like that one.
Yes, me too.
Who is your guys? Who was your first like celebrity crush? Like when you guys were young kids?
Pam Anderson all day.
And I always say Baywatch, Pamela Anderson.
Wow,
I think she might have been mine too. If I'm being honest. let's go. Let's do the last question. All you ask.
Yeah, if you could take one thing from your brother for yourself, meaning an attribute, some sort of a skill, just something internal from that person and have it for yourself, what would
it be? Or something you want to emulate.
Something you want to emulate, right. And then on the flip side of that, if you could take something away from your brother, some sort of a stressor, some sort of a, you know, an issue, something that would make his life better, what would you take from them?
Wow.
Wow.
No, I would say just his ability to be himself. I think that's huge. And I think that's why everyone connects with him as well. So, you know, he went to the NFL and nothing changed, where you see a lot of people, especially with money, especially early on in life. You know, he was 20 years old. He was the youngest besides, actually, I think Hernandez was younger than you, but one of the youngest guys in the league, big money, you know, big money on his plate. And just never changed him. So I thought that was just huge, that no matter what was thrown his way, you know, he was always the same person that, you know, in college, he said he was going to be the craziest player in the NFL. He wanted to be sponsored by Bud Light. That's the only thing that didn't happen. And he said he's going to be the craziest player. And, you know, nothing changed. Nothing changed from the days in high school where, you know, he was out there just messing around, making jokes. You know, people would actually come up to me and like, hey, your brother's laughing on the field, you know, in the NFL. And they're like, I just can't believe that, you know, he threw me on the ground and he's laughing about it and kind of like giggling about it. And so that's what I love, man, that no matter what's thrown his way, it's still the same person that it was back in the day.
That's great.
And what would be the thing that you would alleviate from him?
I mean, it was something we kind of hit on earlier, but, you know, I would put that 6 foot rule in for him 24/7. So I think one of the hardest things is just that constant, first off, pressure from everybody, but also just, you know, the nagging, just so much. People expect so much from him. And he's always done his best to always, you know, everything that he possibly can for other people, his fans. But it comes to a point where it's just too much where, you know, we're having dinner together as a family and people come up. And I've seen it to the point where, you know, someone comes up, asks for an autograph. He says, hey, I'm eating, you know, with my family. And they say, well, thanks for ruining my fantasy league. You know, stuff like that where it's just like, come on, you know, it's you can only be and you can only help people as much as you possibly can. But there's a limit. And no matter what, you know, if you could take that away, that's definitely the biggest pain point for anybody that's at that level and has that kind of stardom. So,
Great. That's great. What about you, Rob?
I'll go with just the ability that Chris has to learn and adapt. For example, like in college, you just go to class and you don't think he's paying attention, but really he's absorbing all the information and he can go to the next day of the class and just ace the test. So, just his ability just to pick up anything on the spot. So I'm sure, like, business wise, that's why he's doing so well and successful with Ice Shaker. He's just picking it up, knowing what to do, how to do it, and then applying it, which is great. And that's what he did in school too. And without any extra exertion, I mean, that's the way you want to be. You know, you want to be able to flow and learn without any exertion. Then you can put a way higher output out there. So that was just something special. He's had that his whole life. You never think he's paying attention. He's really hearing everything. He's like a sponge. It's incredible. And then, this is one thing I would take away. Like, really? I don't know. Chris really doesn't, you know, there's nothing that, you know, drives me.
There's no stress in his life. Not even about, not even how it affects
stress.
You. Just about like.
Just for him.
Yeah, Chris, even for him. Just. Like, dude, you got to chill.
For stress-wise, all right. I agree 100%. Is, okay. Okay, I like the way you put it is that I was thinking a different way, but that way put it is is too much on his plate at sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been there before, and having a lot on your plate is too much. I mean, maybe when you're young and you're trying to get in the game, but when you're more established and you got like a family and stuff, I mean, you got to find things that are quality in life and do that instead of trying to just keep putting things on your plate. Just find a thing that you love to do and do that and work and ace it to the max instead of trying to find like a million things. Sometimes I'm like, oh, you're doing a little bit too much where it's wearing you down. And then when you're worn down, I just feel like, it's not worth it then. I would say I was at that point too at one time.
Are you a good uncle?
Oh, I'm a great uncle. I mean,
I'm a fun ass uncle.
They love me. Bear Ledger. They look up to Robbie G, the one and only, even though they're super young and everything. But they're great. Yeah. I love seeing the videos of them. I love being an uncle. They're a handful. They're amazing. And I love to love seeing them whenever I can.
All right. You can have kids? I'm not talking about now, but like you're going to have kids.
I don't have any now, but I definitely want kids in the future, big time.
You do?
Oh, yeah, okay. For sure.
Yay.
All right, good.
Well, you guys, this has been so great.
You're
and
the best.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with us. And we're just super grateful. So thank you.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Stay
later,
safe
guys.
Out there. Stay healthy.
You too.
You
all
too.
Right.
You
too.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson and Oliver Hudson.
Producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.